So we were discussing the inyan of Amir al-Nahri and getting Hana from the Malacha of a non-Jew. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just review. Today we're going to talk about some exceptions to the Yisurim. So that's nice. That's always a nice thing to know about. But let's just summarize in 1 or 2 minutes what we've learned so far. So number one, there is an Isur of Amir al-Nahri. What does Amir al-Nahri mean? What? That's not exactly what Amir al-Nahri means. Telling a non-Jew to do malacha on Shabbos. Now, what if I tell him before Shabbos to do the malacha on Shabbos?
It's also forbidden.
Still usser. What if I tell him on Shabbos to do the malacha after Shabbos?
That's permitted.
Not permitted.
Oh, they said before Shabbos, after.
No. Anja. Okay, so you're not allowed to tell a non-Jew to do malacha on Shabbos. Good. You're not allowed to tell him on Shabbos, and even if you tell him before Shabbos, he can't tell him before Shabbos to do the malacha on Shabbos. Okay. Let's say he's very smart and nice, and he knows to do it by himself. Can you get benefit from that?
No.
Still cannot get benefit from that. There's a separate iser. Iser number two of Hanali Melechis Goy. So that's the baseline. There's two separate isurim, and you have to overcome both of them. Now, we started to already define and to a little bit notice the room for leniencies. So what does it mean to tell a non-Jew? What about if I hint to him?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Depends
how you hint. What it means depends how you hint. Is the question, is it the issue of how obvious it is? So we said the issue is, am I issuing a directive, a request, a command? Okay? If I'm telling him, please do X, then even if X is not a direct reference to a malacha, but it's a hint to a malacha, then you have a problem. You have a problem. However, what can I do? I can merely describe a situation and let him arrive at his own conclusions. If I say it's very light, very bright light on, and I can't fall asleep in the light, so he may look at you like you're crazy and say, okay, so what are you calling, you know, thanks for telling me, I appreciate that, very good, thank you. But he may get the point, and turn off. So he may say to you, oh, you want me to turn off the light? Now if you say yes, then that you already violated Amir al-Nahri. But if you say, listen, you know, if you would turn off the light, that would in fact solve my problem. Of course, I wouldn't tell you to do so, Chas v'Shalom. So then you'll get the point across, and that's not called Amira. What about the Hana problem? What about the problem of Hana? So you can still get a problem of Hana, right? So we said the Isra of getting Hana from the Malacha of a non-Jew that he did for a Jew only applies if you get direct benefit from the tangible result of his malacha. If he turns on a light, so then the light is the tangible product of his malacha. That's awesome. But if he turns off the light, there is no tangible product. The light, the darkness, is simply the absence of light. He didn't create the darkness. So then that is permitted. That's permitted. Okay, I'll take a couple questions and then we'll move on. Yes?
I think we discussed this previously, but I remember the answer. But what about asking non-Jew to do something for you before, if you ask him before Shabbos to do something after Shabbos, but you know he's most likely going to prepare and work on it.
Okay, right. It doesn't matter, right? We said the only issur is if you tell him to do it on Shabbos or to get benefit from malacha that he does for a Jew on Shabbos. Now, we pointed out that if you ask him to do it sometime and he decides for his own convenience to do it on Shabbos, the fact that he didn't, the malacha he's doing is for you, but the fact that he did it on Shabbos is not for you. Right, so if I bring in my car to the garage on Friday, and he could fix it Friday, he could fix it Shabbos, I'm picking it up, Mosai Shabbos. He doesn't have to do the work on Shabbos. Even if I know that he's going to do it on Shabbos, it doesn't matter. The fact that he's deciding to do it on Shabbos is for his own convenience. He has other jobs to do on Friday. Okay, that's his issue. I didn't tell him to do it on Shabbos. Yeah.
But what if he asks him to do something before Shabbos? If he asks him to do something that's permanent, so it could be benefiting both on Shabbos and after Shabbos. For example, if you hire a guy or ask a guy on Friday or before Shabbos during the week to manage all your stocks for a year, for example, so he's going to buy and sell stuff on Shabbos and after Shabbos, which means he's going to be making you money, profiting you, benefiting for you on Shabbos and after Shabbos.
Luckily, the stock market's
saying an example,
closing Shabbos.
If it were open, yeah. But an example like that, where he's doing something that's going to directly benefit you, could be making you money directly on Shabbos, and after Shabbos.
Okay, so look at theoretically in terms of the Amir al-Nahri issue, it's not really Amir al-Nahri. You didn't tell him to do it on Shabbos. He decided for his own convenience to do it on Shabbos. But there is an additional problem, which is businesses, Jewish businesses operating on Shabbos. So there is an issue there, but that's a little bit of a separate discussion. Maybe we'll have that discussion separately. Yeah.
What about something that requires a certain amount of hours, and you know that, let's say you ask him that with let's say there's 5 hours left of Shabbos, until Shabbos, and you ask him to finish something by Motzei Shabbos.
How many hours does it take?
Let's say it takes 4 hours, but you know he also needs to do something. He wants to do something else that's also going to take like 2-3 hours. Or he wants to be at his kid's birthday party that's starting 2 or 3 hours before.
It doesn't matter. As long as the fact that he does it on Shabbos is for his convenience, but he could theoretically do it with not doing it on Shabbos, then it's his problem. And it's not his problem. He's a guy. You know, it's his issue. Now, let's say he's a Jew, so that we don't. That would not be allowed. If you know that he's going to do it for you on Shabbos, then even if he's doing it for his own convenience, but it's because you gave him the work, you cannot facilitate a Jew doing malach on Shabbos.
I'm pretty sure I read this exact situation where he theoretically, he could stay up all night Thursday night and write an essay or something and hand it into you Friday or Motzei Shabbos. You could do it all through Thursday night, Friday, without sleeping 2 hours and do it. But most likely, you know he's not going to do that. He's going to go to sleep, get a nice sleep, and do it on Shabbos. And it said that it would be usher to do it, to order it for Motzei Shabbos, because you know for a fact that he will be doing it on Shabbos.
All right, maybe there's a difference in the case where you'd have to stay up 24 hours straight in order to do it. It's like not normal, not realistic. In this case, it's not my business to figure out what's on his schedule. If he has a son's birthday party on his schedule on Friday, I have to go ahead and give him an interrogation. What does he have on his schedule? I give it to him Friday. He has enough time to do the work. I pick it up mostly. You know, as far as I understand, I think that's permitted. Yeah.
To me, the idea that if a non-Jew turns off a light, then it's nothing tangible. To me, this doesn't conform with the idea Yotzer Or Vorecha Shach. He created light and he created darkness. So I think by this verse, darkness is a tangible object. Tangible product.
Okay. Yotzer Or Vorecha Shach. I hear you. It's a good kasha. Maybe it means Borei, he creates a reality of darkness, not that he creates...
Originally it was just pure light. Some people say that...
Alternatively, he creates darkness, and darkness is in your room anyway, and you go ahead and turn on the light. Hashem created the darkness, not the guy. The guy doesn't create darkness. Okay? Well, nice, darkness is not, you know... Maybe for Makas Choshech, it might have been something more tangible. But in our normal, everyday reality, if you turn off the light, you didn't thereby create the darkness. Right, you just remove the light. Okay, maybe Hashem creates the darkness, and we have the ability to go ahead and light up the darkness. Okay, it's a fair question. What's that? Hanukkah, light up the darkness, light up the nights. Very good, very good. Okay. Let's talk about a couple of possible exceptions to the entire Isser. Okay, we've discussed the parameters of when the Isser applies, but let's discuss exceptions. So we're going to skip around a little bit, so you have to stick with us here. Let's look at Simen Shin Chav Ches Sif Yud Zayin. And we're going to flip back and forth between Reisha involved and other places, but let's start here. Shin Chav Ches Sif Yud Zayin. Now, this is in the siman that we already saw about refuah on Shabbos, medical procedures on Shabbos. So, read for us Sif Yud Zayin. Avi Yosef.
Torah Shinafon Mechamat Chalios Mishka Vehimbo Zekana.
Skip the Ramah for a moment, because we did that already. Okay, now it says here that for a chole, even if he's ein bo sakana, it says omrim le'eno yehudi lasos l'refuah. You can ask, you can directly tell, you don't have to hint even. You can directly tell a non-Jew to do what is necessary for this individual's refuah. Look here in the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Mem Zayin, Avi.
Afilu bimlacha d'oraisa, v'hu adin shar
So you can even ask the non-Jew directly to do a melacha deraisa. If it's for chole, then the isser of amira l'nachri was never applied. Both isurim, the amira and the benefit, the isser of hanah from the meleches goy, neither of those isurim were applied in a case of a chole. Okay, so even if it's a matter of baking for him, cooking for him food, okay, you can have the non-Jew do melacha for the Jew. Flip back to Reish Ayin Vav, Sif Hey. How far do we take this issue of doing melacha for a chole?
Oh, this is yours.
Reish Ayin Vav, Sif Hey. Y'all have it? God, will you read for us?
I don't.
You don't have it. You got to bring both chalakim. Here, this you have it over here. This
Avi,
one. Avi is the guy. Brings both chalak. Okay, Eli, Chesner, Reisha involved. Sifhe. Okay, so in places where it gets cold, says in the Shulchan Aruch, you can have a non-Jew light a fire for kitan, for kids, to keep them warm. And then, if they did it for the kids, then anybody's allowed to benefit for it, even the gedolim. Not if they do it, if they light the fire for the adults, then it's a problem. But if they're lighting it for the kids, then it's also permitted for the adults to warm themselves from the fire. Why is it permitted for the kids? Because children are considered to be cholim le'inyan, the issue of cold. Continue on. Okay, and let's say it's really cold. It's hard to quantify exactly what really cold means. But let's say it's really, really cold, that even for adults you could have the non-Jew light the fire, because hakol cholim etzel kor. Everybody is considered a chole with regard to the cold. So here would be an example. Let's say it's a winter day. It's in America, and it gets real cold. Here in Israel, it doesn't usually get that cold. Depends where you are. But it doesn't usually get all that cold. Even in, let's say here in Mapet Shemesh, even on the real cold days, if you have kids at home, and it gets cold, it could get cold. Maybe you'd want to have you'd be permitted to ask a non-Jew to turn on the heat. But for adults, I don't think it gets that cold here. But you guys all come from places where it probably gets pretty darn cold during the winter. So a person's heat goes out, you would be able to ask a non-Jew, if it's one of those real cold days, to turn on the heat. Hakol cholim etzel kor. Okay, even though that involves a full-fledged malacha. Okay? What?
You just made fun of me.
Okay.
You made fun of my dialect.
Okay. Yeah.
Can you say to the non-Jew, those kids are really like you can
even say it straight out. Look, this would, in theory, if not for the fact that this is an exception, it would be a case where you are benefiting from the product of his malacha, so it'd be usur to get benefit from it, even if you didn't tell him.
Can you say these kids are really cold? Even though you really want it for you, not just for the kids, but you want it for yourself.
If you have kids and it's cold, not cold enough that it would be a problem for adults, but you have kids and it's an issue for the kids, then everything is permitted. Okay, it's permitted. Not everything, of course. You can't do malacha.
Yeah, so
you can't do malacha unless it's pikuach nefesh.
You can say to the non-Jew,
those kids are like, what's that? Yeah. Okay, there was a whole, I don't know what to call it. Bruhaha. Last year, it got very cold, and there was a rabbi who blogged, this is in Israel, he actually is in Beit Shemesh, who blogged about the fact that the apartment where he was staying, he went out, and in the middle of the night, and he turned it on by himself with a shinoi. So that's very not poshut. That's mutter. Very not poshut.
Not obvious
that's mutter.
Okay, I'm learning Yiddish slang.
You'll get there eventually, Jonathan. So that's not poshut, but certainly to tell a non-Jew to turn it on, So that's what we discussed here. If it's cold, you have kids, that's mutter. If it's even if you don't have kids, if it's really cold, that's also mutter. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch says, "V'lo kosam shenagim etar afa pishena kar galva yomu." Not like those who are knowing, you know, to do this, even though it's not all that cold out. So again, it doesn't quantify exactly how cold is real cold, but a person will have to try to figure it out. In the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, he writes that so too, if it is a sweltering day, the same would apply in reverse to air conditioning. Again, they're probably more of a health concern when it comes to getting heat than when it comes to getting AC. Somehow people survive for a long time without AC. However, it could be, it's very possible if it gets into a real heat wave, you know, it's a serious issue, you know. So then he allows also Amirul Nachri in that regard too. Okay, in other words, when there's very, very serious physical discomfort, there's room to discuss whether that people might be considered to be a chol, even though they're not sick. Okay? So this is one important exception to the Yisurim involving Amir Lenachri. Yes. Okay.
Is it true that last year when it started in Israel, people interested in use water to get rid of the snow? True?
Look, people here don't know what they're doing when it comes to snow. They really don't. Yeah. People sometimes, like, they spray water to melt the snow, and then, look at that, it froze, and now it's all ice. You know, it's ridiculous. Nobody has shovels. So you see people like shoveling.
No one has shovels here?
No, people shovel with like squeegee sticks. They shovel with squeegee sticks, which obviously does not do the trick. It really doesn't. So basically, you get like a two inch like dusting in Yerushalayim every couple of years. The whole city closes down for like, you know, 4 days or so. Just because it's not worth it for anyone to invest in like real snow equipment. You know, because it happens only once every while, you know, once every couple of years. So yeah, it's true. It's true. What's that?
Apparently, can they just salt? Because there's a lot of salt in this, isn't
there? It's a different kind of salt.
It's regular salt.
Salt for ice is not like normal salt.
Yeah, you could.
What is it? Anyway, they haven't chopped. They don't understand it. Okay, they don't know. They don't get it.
That's the moral of the story, guys.
Plus, there's no such thing as Sunday, so they're happy to have a snow day once in a while. Okay, that's what
it boils down to. Don't schools get Friday off?
No.
Not all of them.
No. My kids go to school 6 days a week. I know that. Not much I can tell.
What time do they get off on Friday?
Different ones, different times. Yeah.
No.
Okay. Beseder. Let's discuss the following. What about Makom Mitzvah? Can you tell a guy to do a malacha, but Makom Mitzvah? And this relates to the famous issue of the, what do you call those? Like the custodians in shuls.
Oh, Shabbos Goy.
Yeah. So what about them?
The conservative synagogue only has one.
That's not a good rye for me. Okay? Don't give me rye from what they have in your conservative synagogue. No offense. I once got stuck somewhere, Shabbos. Let's just say I was very young. I was getting rye with somebody, and we didn't make it in time. So we had to get out and walk. So the first synagogue that we came to was a conservative synagogue. So we asked the rabbi if there was an Eruv in town. He said, I quote, "What's an Eruv?" I'm just saying. You like that story. Okay, I'm sure there are some who are more knowledgeable, but in any event, yeah. Okay, so the issue of Makom Mitzvah. So let's start, I'll tell you the background. I'll tell you the background. The Gemara says in Maseches Eruvin the following. Okay? Bizman Chazal, it was understood that for a bris milah, you had to first, in order to make it sanitary and in order to ensure the health of the baby, you had to wash the baby before and after the bris milah in warm water. In warm water. Okay? Excuse me. Okay. So Gemara has a case. Of a situation of a bris milah that's supposed to take place on Shabbos, but the water that they prepared from before Shabbos, the warm water, spilled out. So now what do you do? So the Gemara says they're allowed to bring water from somewhere else in order to do to be able to wash the baby so they can do the bris milah. Now, this is the subject of significant... What the Gemara says is, not that you can bring the water, you can ask a guy to bring the water. Okay, we hold that bris milah is doche Shabbos, if it's a milah bizmano, at the right time, on the eighth day. However, only the milah itself is doche Shabbos. You couldn't do preparatory stages and thereby violate Shabbos. For example, let's say you have a milah that's scheduled on Shabbos, but there's no Eruv, and the guy didn't bring the knife to the house before Shabbos. So then you'd have a problem. Even though milah is doche Shabbos, that's only the milah itself that's doche Shabbos, not the preparations for the milah. Nonetheless, it says that you can ask a guy to bring you water for the bris milah. Now, there's a major machlokas harishonim. What exactly are the parameters of this heter? Are we talking about that he can bring it and thereby violate an issur d'oraisa? That he can bring it and thereby violate an issur d'rabbanon? Like, let's say the water is already heated up and he just has to carry it in a place where there's no eruv, but it's not a rishus haram d'oraisa. Is this a specific heter for milah because bris milah is such an important mitzvah, or is it heter for all mitzvahs? So there are three shitas in the Rishonim. I'll tell you the three shitas, and I'll take your question, and we'll see the psak and Shulchan Aruch. You ready? Three shitas. You have the opinion of the Ri, one of the Balei Atosis, who's the most stringent. He says it's a heter only to ask a guy to do Isurim Derabbanon, and it's only for bris milah, not for other mitzvahs. Okay? Then you have the most lenient opinion, the Behag. And he says it applies for any mitzvah purpose, even to tell him to do an issur d'oraisa. That's the Behag's opinion.
That's crazy.
So then you'd be able to ask a non-Jew to turn on the lights for you in order to be able to daven because it's dark there, etc., etc. And the Rambam is the middle shita, and he says that it's for any mitzvah purpose, but you can only ask the non-Jew to do an issur d'rabbanon. Not an issur d'oraisa. Yeah. Issur d'rabbanon. Okay, those are the three shittas in the Rishonim. Yes. I'm talking about what level of not level of mitzvah, what level of mitzvah it is, but what level of iser.
What I'm saying is, one second.
My other question is for bris milah, isn't it kind of like at the time they kind of assumed that was kind of like same with the foods like you were doing things for like derech achila, like isn't that kind of like at the time they actually believed that was part of bris milah.
They never considered the washing the baby to be part of bris milah.
Well, that was part of the process of bris milah.
They considered it to be necessary to ensure the health of the baby when they did the bris milah.
Yes, that's a serious thing. Because at the time, like, when there wasn't that much medication.
Okay, it is a serious thing. So the question is...
So why is it even like a question?
This is applied by the
question. Again, listen, no. If they did the bris milah and then the water spilled out, so then we would consider that the Chazal considered the baby to be a chulash yesh bil sakana, and you'd even be allowed to heat up new water. Okay, but we didn't do the bris milah yet. So maybe we'll just delay it until Sunday. Okay, you can't do full-fledged malacha in order to facilitate a bris milah. Okay, that's why the whole discussion is only about asking a guy to bring you water, not that, why don't we just heat up the water ourselves? No, you can't do a malacha to facilitate bris milah. Jonathan, do you have a question?
I would have thought the middle shita was derabanan for all cases except for bris where it's explicitly d'oraisa as well, versus d'oraisa for that. But like, apparently, that was my initial.
Okay,
thought.
Look, we're just saying that's not one of the shitas. Look, this is just a quick review outside. You'll see the sugya Bezrach one day. You'll see the sugya in Ervin, Taf Samach Zayin, Samach Ches. And you'll see where it comes from. You'll see the Rishonim inside. You'll see how it goes. Okay, so we have to look at the Mechaber and the Rama. I would say keep the place in Reish Ayin Vav. Don't lose the place. And turn to Simon Shin Zayin. Shin Zayin. Siv Hey.
Oh,
Shin Zayin, Seif Hey. Zach.
Davar Shina Malacha Veino Asar Latsom. Bishabat Elam Yishim Shibud. Mutar Lisa Lamar Leino Yudi Latsoto Bishabat Magushi Asham Mikta Choli. Oy Yetarich Latavar Tarachabe. Omi Penemit Svat Ketar Omer Yisrael Leino.
Okay, one second before we get to the Ketar. So, something that's Asar Midrabanan, due to a Shavuos, a Gzeira of the Chachamim, lest you end up doing a Melacha. So, So, the Chachamim never applied these Isurim in a case of, not that you can do the Isurim, but asking a guy to do these Isurim Derabanan for you, if there is, even not a full-fledged Chola, but Miktas Choli, or some great need, or for a mitzvah purpose. So continue on. Read the Ram. Continue on the Mechaber. Ketzad.
Ketzad omer Yisrael leino Yehudi. Bishvav lalot ba'ilan. Lahavi shofar litzkoat kiat mitzvah. O lavi vayim terech chater. Shalo ervu lerchoto. Bo'am itzda'er v'yish ostrin.
Okay. So, you would be allowed to ask a non-Jew to go up into a tree. Now, climbing trees is aser. Or even taking something out of a branch is on a tree is aser. But you'd be allowed to ask a non-Jew to do that for you if it's a shofar and it's Rosh Hashanah. You need to blow shofar. Or, let's say someone is very uncomfortable, very, very, very thirsty, is parched. You can ask a non-Jew to bring water from him from somewhere else where there's no Eruv, but it's not a Rosh Hashanah Daraisa. So the Isser he's violating is Derabanan. So it's a double Derabanan. Asking the guy is a Derabanan. And what you're asking him to do is Derabanan. It's a Shvus de Shvus. A double dirabanan, b'makom mitzvah or b'makom tsar, you're allowed to do it. So, which opinion does the mechaber paskin like of the three that we said before?
The
middle opinion. The strictest opinion said it only for brismila.
Wait, why is it double?
But then he says v'yesh osrin. There are those who aser. So that's the Mishnah Berurah points out that they hold that the whole head is only for brismila. So the mechaber first quotes the middle opinion. And then he quotes the very machmir opinion. We have a general rule in Shulchan Aruch, stam v'yesh omrim, halacha k'stam. That when the mechaber quotes one opinion, he just says the halacha, and then he says, but yesh omrim ex. So then he really thinks that you can paskin like the first thing that he mentions. That you should paskin that way. That's the real psak. So the mechaber goes for the middle opinion. That b'makom mitzvah, you can ask a non-Jew to do an Isser Derabbanon, but not an Isser Deraisa. Comes along the Ramah, and the Ramah says, Ayein le'el simen reishayin vav, sif beis, d'yesh mekilin afilu bi melacha deraisa. So the Ramah says, check out what I said before, in reishayin vav, there are some who are mekil, who are lenient, even for an Isser Deraisa. Okay, now we have to go back to reishayin vav. Go back to reishayin vav. Sif beis, Reisha and Vav Siv Beis.
We're writing all this. I probably end up forgetting that I've written something earlier. How do you remember that you had written something earlier?
Not if you're the Ramah, you got this down.
Then you just repeat it again.
Yeah. So so Gabi, read for us the Ramah here in Reisha and Vav Siv Beis. We're starting from the Ramah. Continue on. Yesh Omer. This is the Shulchan Aruch.
Yesh omrim de muzar lomar leino yudi ladik lo mer siudat shabbat mishum tisvira de muzar leino yudi afilu b'malacha kimura b'kol mitzvah she'al pi zeh. Now, Gu Ravim, the Hakel, Vidabar, the Tzavot, the Eno Yudi Ladlik, Neros, Litzore, Suda, Bifrat, Bisudas, Hanukkah,
Hasana,
Hasuk, O Mila, the Ein Moche, the Adam.
So says the Ramah, there is an opinion that holds that you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to light a candle for you to be able to have light for your Shabbos meal. Because this opinion holds, you can even ask a non-Jew to do what would be a melacha deraisa if it's l'tzorech mitzvah, and Suda Shabbos counts tzorech mitzvah. And based on this opinion, there are many people who are megel to do this, and nobody protests. However,
v'yesh lehachmir b'makom she'ein tzorech gadol dehavra ro haposkim.
Okay, so in the Kamon, Shin Zayin Sefei. So here he points to the Shin Zayin, and Shin Zayin he points to here. So the Ramah says, however, that there is Yesh Lachmir. If it's not a Tzorech Gadol, and not a great need, one should be Machmir, because this most lenient opinion is not the opinion of the majority of the Rishonim. In the Mishnah Berurah, he points out that some say that you should be Machmir even if it is a Tzorech Gadol. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah recommends definitely being machmir, not to ask a non-Jew to do a malacha daraisa. If you look in Sifkan Chafei, however, so then he says that, let's say the Erev goes down. So you can ask a non-Jew to fix it, even if it involves a malacha daraisa, in order to save people from violating Shabbos. He says, "Kedai hu bala iter lismach alav la'atir shvus tamira afilu b'malacha deraisa b'makom mitzvah derabim." B'makom mitzvah derabim. So he says, we can rely on the lenient opinion here when it comes to a mitzvah derabim like this. Okay, so how does it come down? How does it boil down to? Bottom line. Let's discuss for another minute. I know where our time is finished.
What does it mean? Ask, like, hint or ask?
No, you can tell him directly. If it's mutter, you can tell him directly. So what it boils down to is as follows. Okay, can you ask a non-Jew, directly or indirectly, to turn on a light for you at home, so in order for you to have your Suda Shabbos? So the Ramah quotes an opinion that says yes, but the recommendation would be not to do this. Recommendation would be not to. Okay? What about if... that's because turning on the lights presumably is an Issa D'Oraisa. What if you're asking him to do an Issa D'Rabbanan? L'tzorech mitzvah, like Suda Shabbos. Then it would be permitted. Then it would be permitted. Okay. A couple of coolers here. First of all, electricity. Something involving electricity, which does not involve heating anything or turning on lights. So there's room to consider that in Issa D'Rabbanan. Then you'd be allowed to ask him to do that for you. L'tzorech mitzvah, such as through the Shabbos. Shlomo Zalman writes, what if you ask a non-Jew to turn the lights for you, let's say, or to do something which would be a Issa D'Oraisa, but you ask him to do it with a shinui. You ask him to do it with a shinui. So that doing it with a shinui is an Issa D'Rabbanan. So then he says, that would be permitted, interestingly enough. That would be permitted. Yeah. One second. And then, even if he ends up doing it regularly, he listens to you, but he decides not to do it with a shinui. That was his problem. I asked him to do it with a shinui. He decides not to do it with a shinui.
That's
it's all about asking.
Yeah. The fact that he ended up doing it regularly, so that's his problem. What about Mr. Derabim? Let's say, like in shul, to turn the lights in shul. So Moshe Feinstein understands, similar to this, sounds like from this Mishnah Berurah, Mitzvah Derabim, that if it's for a tzibur, if it's for a rabim, then it's permitted, even if it's an Issa D'Oraisa. Then it would be mutter to ask the custodian to turn on the lights on Shabbos in the shul, and that would be totally permitted. Shlomo Zalman Orbach and others, they didn't like this. They thought that the heter in the Mishnah Berurah was only to save people from violation, like if the Erev is down, but not to go ahead and to start turning on and off lights. So they didn't like that, unless you're going to go ahead and like ask them to do with a shinui or something weird like that. So then in that case, it would be, there'd be what to talk about. So there are different minhagim in this regard. In many places in America, they follow Rav Moshe's shita. And they people ask the custodian. Nowadays you have Shabbos clocks. But sometimes the custodian knows. He comes and he turns on the lights, he turns off the lights, and whatever he does. And especially in Eretz Yisrael, many people will follow Shlomo Zalman, and they will not ask the guy to do a Malacha D'Oraisa, even Litzorach Rabim, unless it is to save them from violation of something. Or you could ask with the Shinui, that would be possible, Hector. Okay, so have a great day.